Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle Berquist, your humble host today of Women Who Lead, and boy, do we have a leader and a leading lady for our show. I'm kind of excited about our topic. We are going to talk about the resilience factor, which resilience is a big word and a powerful word, and the resilience factor equals transformation. So, woo, just go with that. So I want to welcome our leading lady for the day today, somebody I have known for quite some time. I'm saying you're old, leading lady, so wait for it. I'm just teasing. But she is the lovely Patty Vargas, who is the principal with the Vargas Group. And I also have to say, one of our very high-esteemed past Sue Talk presenters. So, Patty, say hello to every one of our listeners.
Hello, everyone. Good to be here.
I always
here.
Love when I ask that.
And Michelle, if I'm getting older, so are you, baby, because we've been hanging out together for a long time.
Go.
So,
I knew having you on the show, you would bite back. I'm just going to go with that. So there we go, because it's all about resilience today. And I'm, you know, first of all, thanks for being on our show, because you and I have known each other a long time. So I think this should be, I hope, an interesting show. But, you know, you did a Sue Talk on resilience. It was fascinating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is kind of like your niche, right? I mean, I know you're a speaker and a trainer and organizational development consultant and powerhouse in my mind. But, you know, can you kind of just share a little bit of how important, you know, this factor is to individual success? Because I know it is.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So I don't think I really ever thought about resilience as a thing until I needed some. And, you know, as I shared in my Sue Talk, I went through a very unexpected divorce back in 1995 and sort of discovered at that time that I had been so lost in just living my life, you know, taking care of kids and working and just doing all of the things that we do, that I was not really being very intentional about my life. I wasn't, I was just living, you know, put it that way. And so when everything was sort of turned upside down and everything changed, I realized I didn't really have a plan B. I didn't have any, you know, whatever, you know, intestinal fortitude sort of to fall back on and say, well, I'm going to be resilient. I'm going to bounce back. You know, this is going to be just a bump in the road. It's going to be just fine. So going through that, I discovered that this was really important to sort of prepare ahead of time, prepare yourself emotionally and spiritually and everything else for change, because, I mean, face it, there is no constant but change. Everything changes. Nothing ever stays the same, which is a good thing. But if you sort of don't know how to handle it and how to roll with those punches, then it can really throw you for a loop and can end up making a victim out of you instead of an overcomer. And, you
well,
know,
and I think that's a question. That's a question I've got, Patty. It's like, you know, and I know we'll kind of talk over a little bit here, but, you know, I think that's the big thing is that, you know, resilience, and we know change is a constant, but it's how we handle it. And, you know,
right,
for our listeners, those that are, you know, maybe wanting to be better, you know, when it comes to resilience, if they're going through change, I know you were just setting things up, but my job is to interrupt, so I'm going to do it. And it's like, what would you recommend that people could do? You know, I mean, because it is. It's like, I mean, I went through 5 mergers and acquisitions over a 13-year career in banking. The only thing I got used to you know, was change. And it's like, you know, how you got through it. And I watched people that, I mean, there are people that just, I mean, you thought the world was ending, you know, with the change. Mm-hmm. And then thinking even from 2008, you know, all that, I mean, there's no business as usual anymore, right? What would be some tips that you would share with our listeners on how they can be more resilient? I know you've got a ton of them.
Well, you know, I think the first thing that's the most important is to be the CEO of your own life, you know, to be in charge of your life. And that's whether you're an entrepreneur running your own business, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you are working in corporate America, you're the one in charge of what happens in your life. And when we abdicate that to somebody else, you know, when we go to work for a company, we think that company is going to be loyal to us and support us for the next 25 years, you know, and then there's a rude awakening when that doesn't happen. Or, you know, we think that this job or this career, or this business I've just bought and launched, that all of that is going to be forever. Then when it doesn't happen that way, you know, you're kind of cut adrift, you know. So I think number one is just stepping back and saying, hey, this is my life. I'm in charge of this. These things aren't happening to me. They're happening with me. And I get to pick how I'm going to respond in this. I think that is the number one key.
I like that. You know, and with resilience, I mean, I know you've been through your, you know, set of changes. You kind of shared that in your Sue Talk, and I got to make a plug on the Sue Talks and go, if anybody wants to check out Patty's Sue Talk, it was awesome, and you'll never look at, quote, an egg the same way again on resilience, but you'll have to watch it. You can go to www.suetalks.com to see Patty's incredible Sue Talk. That's called You're Not the Boss of Me. Am I right, Patty?
That's right.
So tell us more on this resilience and how it can transform you. Because I think, you know, I mean, I think part of it, it's a mindset as well. You know, we know change, like mindset-wise, we know we have to, like, bugger through it. We need to be better about it. But how can, I think, from what, you know, you kind of shared, you know, having the resilience factor and how that can help transform you. That's really an amazing, like, tie-in, you know, together. Resilience and transformation. How can that work?
Right. Well, you know, there's a difference between change and transition. And change doesn't become transformation just overnight. You know, there's this process of going through it. So often we see people get stuck in the place where this change is happening, and they don't move into that place of transition where it's kind of like the stages of death and dying. You know, it's like, I don't believe this. I'm angry. This will never happen. Mm-hmm. All of that. And then you finally start moving into some acceptance, you know, even grudgingly, but okay, this is the way that it is now. And as you move through that, now you begin to see some possibility in this change. It's not the end of the world. There is probably some good that can come out of this. That's what leads us into transformation. But I think the really interesting thing is that is all within our power. But I think we've all seen that person that is still stuck in this thing that happened 20 years ago, and they've never moved from there. And they can talk about it like it was yesterday because they haven't looked into what is the new normal and how do I be a part of that, and not just be a part of it, how do I shape what that is. Once you've had to
totally
do that,
agree.
You know, once or twice, then you sort of you get it again.
But you know, I think what's interesting as well on the transformation part and kind of being more resilient, if I can use that for my words, is what I never realized in some of the big transitions I've had, you know, from my bank career to even being an entrepreneur, and then, you know, all of us dealing with 2008 and beyond, which is another whole subject.
Yeah.
But, you know, the amazing part is with when change happens and you think, oh gosh, you know, you go into that mode of why me? I will say sometimes we as women go poor me and all that, or a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that when you look back on it, let's say 4 years, you know, and you look back and you go, oh my God, there was a real reason that happen? I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on that, because when I've started to realize that, hey, even though I'm not in control of the situation, but I can kind of, you know, kind of go through, it's almost like I look at change like an earthquake, right? I'm going to ride it, ride the wave a little bit, and then, you know, kind of see what shakes out on the other end and hopefully learn and benefit and move on from it. But what's kind of your opinion of how people can look at that? How do you find that mindset, I think, is the question. I mean, is it just wake up and go, hey, I'm going to have a different mindset? Or what are some things people might do from your perspective to be, you know, I guess a little more nimble so that they can be resilient?
Well, I think it requires a reorienting of your perspective, you know, so looking at the situation or the event, whatever, through a particular lens, you know, so we can look at something like it's a disaster. It's the worst thing that ever could have happened. It's so unfair. It's woe is me, blah, 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 all of that stuff. We can look at it, and that is, you know, likely to be perfectly accurate. But if we switch that lens, if we change the perspective a little bit to say, okay, that is what it is. There's not a thing I can do about it. How do I now move this toward a more positive thing? You know, you can sit and cry and moan and whine about something that happened forever. And like I said, we all know people who do. Or you can just say, I'm going to look at this differently. I'm going to look at this as an opportunity that's going to lead to something new, something different. And it is true that hindsight is 20/20. You know, when we look back on something many years past, then we go, oh, I get it. Okay, now I see.
Right.
But, you know, when you're in it, you don't have the benefit of that. So it's a conscious choice you have to make that says, I'm going to find the pony in this pile of poop, you know, somehow.
I think you know the reference, right?
The pony in the pile
of poop. Yeah, I was going to finish it, but I was like, I was going to let you do it.
Yeah, sometimes I
say that, and
people don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, it's a little girl. She goes into a barn, and there's just this huge pile of manure, and she starts digging all through it. And her dad comes in and says, "What are you doing digging in that pile of manure?" She goes, "Well, with this big of a pile of you know what, there's got to be a pony in here."
And that, my friends, is called resilience, right? There is a transformation
right.
there. And the stink factor as well, if we go with that, because that's quite the visual to share with all of our listeners. You know, I think this is what always frustrates me a little bit, if I can share, because one, I can, and two, you're going to have to answer because we're live on the show. I think, you know, I want to get out of kind of like the what should people do, and, you know, how do you break yourself from when we know it in our head that we should be resilient. What would be some techniques? I think, you know, I remember going through a program with Anthony Robbins or some motivational thing quite a few years ago, and they were always like, you know, to get yourself out of your head trash, it's like, you know, wear a rubber band on your arm and, you know, kind of snap that, to kind of snap yourself out of the situation or break yourself, you know, from the kind of like norm, if you will, right? Take a different drive home, try to get a different perspective. But what are some very tactical things people can do when they feel that, you know, they're, and again, they might not realize they're not resilient, you know? I mean, how do people get out of that, you know? Because I know you've seen it a lot and you've experienced it, you know? Where do you find that motivation button to kind of go, I'm going to get through this?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I have done with myself. This was something that I was actually taught by a counselor a number of years ago, and then I've turned around and used it in my practice as well with people. And it's, all right, here's this thing that you're worried about, you're concerned about this thing that's happened, and you're worried about the future. So sit down and do a mind dump, write down every possible awful thing that could come as a result of this. And I kind of call it the what's the worst thing that could happen. And somehow by putting voice to that, by, you know, writing it down, it starts to look a little bit more ridiculous to you. You know, you can realize that those voices in your head are just running amok and you're listening to them and you're giving voice to that. Whereas if instead you just say, all right, really, what is the worst that could happen? And as you began to think through those, you're like, the likelihood of that happening is really pretty small. But what if it did? What if it did happen? Then what would I do? So you're sort of taking control of something that hasn't even really happened yet, and forming that narrative the way that makes it a little bit more reasonable.
That's good.
That's one technique.
Do you have another one?
Well, another is sort of in the same vein. It's, I mentioned the voice in the head. So when these voices are just going crazy, and I don't know about you, but the voices in my head never tell me what a rock star I am. They never tell me that I'm killing it, or I'm the hottest thing going. It's always something on the other side. But if you can counter that, I'm not a big fan of positive thinking and, look on the sunny side. I don't find that very helpful for myself. But if I can replace that negative accusatory, word or thought with something that's a little bit more reasonable, it kind of diffuses it, So, if it's saying, the voice in my head is saying, God, you never finish anything, you never finish anything. And then you replace that with, well, let's think about that for a minute. I have finished some things, before. So it just, diffuses it a bit, takes the sting out of it a little bit.
I love that you went to the head trash part, because I want to share, to me, it's like I learned everything I know about business and life from Disney, right? And so I'm going to give you a visual, because that there's that movie, which I think you'll know, is called Inside Out by Disney and Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
And the little girl with the little voices in her head. And it's like, for me, this is how I'm able to get through it. I mean, this is what works for me, listeners. So this might not work for you, but anytime I start getting in that poor me, oh, I suck, I'm not all that great. It's like, I start thinking of that, Inside Out movie. And I go, I just need to shove that little eerie blue lady right out of my head. the kind of bummer girl, because I'm like, oh my God, I so don't want to be her. Right. I want to be joy. I want to be yellow. I want to be orange. And, then it kind of like knocks me out of it. But that, everybody kind of has their little techniques that they use. And, I don't think there's a one size fits all kind of thing. But one question I do have for our listeners, do you find in the kind of, training that you do and the consulting that you do, is there a difference in how women are more or less resilient? Is there a difference between genders of men and women, or any dynamics there that you can share that you've observed or seen?
So I don't, okay. I think women are more likely to blame themselves for whatever it is that's going wrong, and I do think that tends to be, and of course we're generalizing like crazy here, but I do think that tends to be sort of a difference between men and women, is that women take the responsibility on themselves and men might be more pragmatic or more likely to look for somebody else, to be responsible for it. And again, huge generalization, but at the end of the day, I do think that women are far more resilient than men are when it comes to major.
Careful where we're going, girls. I want to go. This is nice. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. But, when there's a major thing that happens, that could really just derail you, I think women are more resilient. I think maybe it comes from the need to take care of things, take care of others. I know in my own personal case, it was as emotionally wrecked as I was, I knew that there wasn't really any other option but to keep putting one foot in front of another while I figured it out, so I think that it has to do a lot with how much responsibility of it do you take on to yourself, and then what kind of alternatives do you have? So
I like that. I know for me, it's funny because my mom, I grew up with a single mom, and I crack up because my mom would always go, there is no go, like, run away from home, or, you can't come back. And then the other part was, it's like, if you think that these days are bad, she goes, just think that's the worst it can be, and it's going to be better tomorrow. And I grew up with that, there was always like, okay, look at the sunny side. It's like, see that the, one step forward. just think of the next one. And I know I remember hearing a really big presentation by Oprah Winfrey that she goes, you know, it's just one step. What's the next step? Focus on the next step. And it's like, you cannot go wrong. That's going to help you in being, you know, resilient, right? I mean, I think that's, I'll take wise advice from Oprah all day long. I hope you will too. One question I've got, because I know we've only got a little bit more time, but, you know, you've got so much that you know as far as expertise and training and workplace dynamics and people management and supervision. How did you, I mean, what made you specialize in resilience? Because I know this has kind of been a mission and kind of purpose for you for a while. What kind of led you to thinking that resilience is where you want to be the expert and the thought leader on it?
Well, there's, you know, there's resilience in our personal life. I actually call that your personal resilience factor. But then there's resilience in corporate life or in business, you know, as well. So I hate when I see somebody who is just stuck, and the longer they stay stuck, the worse they feel about themselves and the narrower their opportunities become, you know. So if I can help somebody, whether it's in their personal life or whether it's them in their work life or wherever it may be, see that this is a bump in the road, it's a fork in the road maybe, it's not the end of you. You know, you can write that story. You can write this next chapter. It's all up to you. So whether you're a leader in a company and you're trying to help lead your teams through change and you need to model resilience for them, or it's in your own personal life and you're having to learn and model resilience for your family or for others around you, it's the idea that this is not going to take me out. I will live to fight another day, and just view things that way.
I apologize. I'm laughing with you. Clearly there's a message of mine with movies, but I think of Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind. It's like, I'll never be hungry again. I mean, it's like, I just kind of go, okay, obviously I need to get my life out of movies, but well, that's another whole subject. You know, for you, I'm really curious, you have kind of like a success story that, you know, not sharing who the person or company is, but maybe how you worked with an organization and kind of helped them as a team or people or part of your executive coaching on leadership and transformation where they're, you know, somebody kind of, you helped guide them to the transformation?
Well, there's been in working with individuals within organization, like when there's a restructure or something like that going on, I really love working with the managers to help them see how they can lead their people through, you know, at that level, you probably didn't have a lot of control over whether this was going to happen or not. It just is happening. But where you can have the biggest impact is how do you lead your people through this change. So that's something that I have really enjoyed doing. There was a company that I was working for a number of years back that was growing very rapidly through acquisition for the most part. And they had acquired a company so obviously that just brought about a whole lot of upheaval. You know, there was going to be redundant positions, redundant people, offices closing, others expanding, all of that. So it was just, people were just in a lot of turmoil. And by working with those managers and working with them to say, look, here's the reality. Here's what you can't change. Here's what you can change. And here's, you know, what you've got to be able to work with your people to make it as humane a transition as it possibly can be, as humane and transparent as it can be. And that gives people a lot of dignity and, you know, I think hope for the future. So that's some of my funnest work.
Do you find companies, you know, that are going through change are pretty open to having, you know, an expert like you come in to kind of help their team and their, you know, their managers and their leadership kind of go through that, you know, or are they like, oh, just, are they hard, you know, kind of like mindset is just get through it, you know? Because, I mean, I remember in the banking days for me, it's like company really didn't you know, they just kind of said, oh, just, you know, nurture them along. You know, there wasn't really any resources. And yet I've seen companies that pay a pretty penny, you know, especially post 2008 for what their their teams have had to deal with, because the people that were left after all the layoffs and everything are the ones that you go, man, they're thinking, you know, I'm next. But what do you find with companies? Right. Are they really open to bringing someone in to talk about this kind of thing and get their employees through it? Or do they just send them to the employee assistance programs?
Yeah. What I find is the organizations that are open to this are the ones who have already gone through it before and done it badly and have seen the fallout from that. So when they're going through it again, they're more likely to say, maybe we should have a coach available for the managers, or maybe we should have a coach available for the individual employees. You know, employee assistance is a great program, but it's, you know, probably not going to really help those individuals during that particular time. It'd be nice to have somebody that has some information about what's going on in the company. And they can't really, you know, the HR that's involved in all of these changes, you know, can't really be the advocate for them that they're looking for, just by the design of the position, not any fault of HR, but just the way that the companies are structured.
Right. You know, we only got a couple of minutes left, Patty, but it's like, you know, for our listeners that are out there, I can only imagine it's mostly women, you know, that are sitting there going, oh, yeah, okay, this is good stuff. I mean, the yeah, but I can hear it. I just can hear it over the radio. And I'm thinking for those that are thinking, yeah, but if they're in a situation where they're going, yeah, this is nice, but, you know, what would be maybe a resource or a place or maybe, you know, some two or three slices of advice you would give them and how they could go find information or help or assistance. And I don't want to use the word therapy because it's not that. I mean, right?
Nope.
I mean, okay.
Mm-mm.
So where would you
not,
tell people if they
not.
Feel they're kind of in that stuck, that non-resilient mode? Where would you send them? And, of course, call you, which, by the way, we should have you share how people can reach you if they want to reach you first of all.
Yes. So my website is www.thevargasgroup.net. And on there, you can see all the ways that you can contact me. My Facebook page is Vargas Group Coaching, and you can reach me there as well. I love to talk to people who are going through this. You know, just recently I had a woman call me that I worked with years ago, and she said, you know, I always knew that if this ever happened to me, you're the person I would reach out to. And, you know, it was like, man, what an honor, you know, for somebody to say that after that many years. So I am available to coach. I'm available to speak to your groups. You know, I've got, starting in a couple of weeks, I'm launching a bi-monthly open discussion forum that we're doing via Zoom video, so women can dial into this and be a part of a discussion.
Awesome.
The topic on July 12th is about unleashing your greater good, turning off the inner mean girl, silence your inner mean girl and unleash your greatness. So that should be a lot of fun, and you can find information about that on my website or on Facebook. And then I've got a book coming out in another month or
you
so,
do.
Which just happens
I'm just
to be
I know
published.
You do. Share about your book.
Yes, it's being published by Women Lead Publishing, of all things. And it is the story of my resilience journey and my continued resilience journey, because, as you know, it's not one and done. You know, just about the time you think you've got it all figured out, here comes another chance to use your resilience muscle.
I love that. And I know you think big and all that, but paint a picture for our listeners, and we're going to have to end on that, that, you know, what do you hope the future looks like for you? You know, I'm curious, 1-2 years out, I mean, you know, we talking world domination here, or what are we looking at for you? Because I know for me, it's always to have the biggest, the most awesome empire ever. What's your big kind of hope and kind of like goal for the future?
Well, world domination is definitely up there. but I envision my future as being, I'm doing a lot of speaking, a lot of coaching, and a lot of teaching to women about building themselves up, being stronger, never being a victim. That's what I want to do, is just unleash that leader that's inside of each and every woman and help them become the CEO of their own life.
I love it. I'm going to say unleash the beast. And I have to say, just because of knowing you for so long, you know, you didn't say as part of your services that you also give a well-chosen kick in the butt as well when needed. So I know you've done that with me. So listeners, if you need a kick in the butt, if you need some of that, I want to listen into your virtual thing. Share it again, how people can get there for July 12th for the inner mean girl thing, how to get rid of it. Or I'm sorry, I'm not using it right. But how can people find that? I think that sounds fun.
Yeah, so you can go to my website, www.thevargasgroup.net, and click on events, and you'll see it there. And you can sign up for either one session or all six sessions. And once you have registered, then you'll get information about how you join that Zoom video call. And it's also on my Facebook page, and anybody that's connected to anybody that's connected with me has probably seen the ads, because I've been pretty annoying about it. So.
Oh no, you're just being persistent. See, am I good on finding the positive side of things? Just be persistent, like a disease.
Yes.
You just keep coming back. I love that. Well, anyway, I hope you didn't mind my joke, Patty.
Oh,
I think you are amazing. It's like, thank you for being our leading lady today on the show, and to all of our listeners. What we love, love, love is your loyalty. I mean, we're national now with Women Lead Radio. We are here every Friday at 2 p.m. and Mondays at 9 a.m. And we always look for just incredible women and men, you know, who are doing amazing things and helping women be better leaders or better at what they do. So to, again, our listeners, I want to say thank you. I hope everyone has a happy 4th of July, because it's Friday and I know a lot of people are on the get a town thing. We will see you back again for our next radio show, Women Lead Radio, and we are going to be, and our leading lady will be Monday, July 3rd, 9 a.m. Laura Dewey is a personal and executive coach with Laura Dewey Coaching, and we're going to be talking about essential tools for life and leadership. And I will say, this is an amazing woman as well, where she's going to talk about kind of like, you know, finding, you know, your life and leadership purpose. So we're all about lady power, folks. So I hope you have a great 4th of July, and thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.